The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on April 16, 1985 in Bangkok, Thailand. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 6, Verse 30.
Kato vartata brahma purushasya kurudvaha yastuna mukkatvad varnanam mukyo bhut brahmano guru. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Abhoycharan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O chief of the Kuru dynasty, the Vedic wisdom became manifested from the mouth of the Virat, the gigantic form. Those who are inclined to this Vedic knowledge are called Brahmanas, and they are the natural teachers and spiritual masters of all the orders of society. Translation. O chief of the Kuru dynasty,
O chief of the Kuru dynasty,
the Vedic wisdom,
the Vedic wisdom,
became manifested from the mouth of the Virat,
from the mouth of the Virat,
the gigantic form,
the gigantic form.
Those who are inclined to this Vedic knowledge,
to this Vedic knowledge,
are called Brahmanas, and they are the natural teachers,
and they are the natural teachers,
and spiritual masters of all the orders of society,
of all the orders of society.
Report. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, the four
orders of human society developed with the order of the body, of the gigantic form. The bodily divisions are the mouth, arms, waist and legs. Those who are situated on the mouth are called Brahmanas. Those who are situated on the arms are called Kshatriyas. Those who are situated on the waist are called Vaishyas. And those who are situated on the legs are called Shudras. Everyone is situated in the body of the Supreme in his gigantic Vishwarupa form in terms of the four orders. Therefore, no caste is to be considered degraded because of being situated on a particular part of the body. In our own bodies, we do not show any actual difference in our treatment towards the hands or legs. Each and every part of the body is important. Although the mouth is the most important of the bodily parts, if other parts are cut off from the body, a man can continue his life. But if the mouth is cut off, one cannot live. Therefore, this most important part of the body of the Lord is called the sitting place of the Brahmanas, who are inclined to the Vedic wisdom. One who is not inclined to the Vedic wisdom, but to mundane affairs, cannot be called a Brahmana. Even if he is born in a Brahmana family or father, to have a Brahmana father does not qualify one as a Brahmana. The main qualifications of a Brahmana is to be inclined in the Vedic wisdom. The Vedas are situated on the mouth of the Lord, and therefore anyone who is inclined to the Vedic wisdom is certainly situated on the mouth of the Lord, and he is a Brahmana. His inclination towards Vedic wisdom is also not restricted to any particular caste or community. Anyone from any family and from any part of the world may become inclined to the Vedic wisdom, and that will qualify him as a real Brahmana. A real Brahmana is the natural teacher or spiritual master. Unless one has Vedic knowledge, one cannot become a spiritual master. The perfect knowledge of the Vedas is to know the Lord, the personality of Godhead, and that is the end of Vedic knowledge or Vedanta. One who is situated in the impersonal Brahman and has no information of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may become a Brahmana, but he cannot become a spiritual master. It is said in the Padma Puran, Satkarma Nipuna Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada Vaishnava Gurur Nasayap Vaishnava Swa Pacho Guru. And a personalist can become a qualified Brahmana, but he cannot become a spiritual master unless and until he is promoted to the stage of a Vaishnava or a devotee of the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya, the great authority of Vedic wisdom in the modern age, stated, Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, Sudra Kene Naya, Yari Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Haya. A person may be a Brahmana or a Shudra or a Sannyasi, but if he happens to be well versed in the sign of Krishna, then he is fit to become a spiritual master. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyam Leela 8.128. The qualification then of a spiritual master is not to be qualified Brahmana, but to be well versed in the signs of Krishna. One who is conversant with the Vedic wisdom is a Brahmana, and only a Brahmana who is a pure Vaishnava and knows all the intricacies or the signs of Krishna can become a spiritual master.
Translation. O chief of the Kuru dynasty, the Vedic wisdom became manifested from the mouth of the Virat, the gigantic form. Those who are inclined to this Vedic knowledge are called Brahmanas, and they are the natural teachers and spiritual masters of all the orders of society. Thus end the translation and purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam by His Divine Grace of Abhayacharya Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in the Canto 3, Chapter 6, Text 30, in the chapter entitled The Creation of the Universal Form. There are some important points which are revealed by this translation. One is that Vedic wisdom comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some people say that Vedic wisdom is also man-made. This is wrong. Here, very clearly, the Lord is taking place.
Example is given that the Brahmanas, they are coming from the mouth of the Lord. That means that the Brahmana's duty is to speak, is to preach. One time Srila Prabhupada explained in how for doing some type of menial works, it may be possible to hire someone, but to preach, to explain Krishna consciousness to others, that can only be effectively done by a devotee. Of course, a devotee takes a humble attitude and renders very simple service in order to attract the mercy of the Lord. At the same time, the qualified devotee is actually the only one who will be able to convince someone else of Krishna consciousness. To become a qualified devotee, sometimes we render very simple or menial devotional service. But the most important service we can render is to hear from the advanced devotees on the topic of Krishna consciousness. This is necessary to develop the ability to preach, to explain Krishna consciousness. No one can explain Krishna consciousness unless they have properly heard. So, therefore, of all the devotional services leading up to hearing and chanting, even surrendering to Krishna is considered to be subordinate to hearing from the pure devotee, hearing from a Vaishnava on Krishna consciousness. This is very important to understand. Another important point.
Prabhupada makes when you're hungry, then you
go. Direction, either whether it's military or whether it's educational, brahminical, or whether it's economic. The different people, the labor, are engaged in their function. So by doing their work properly, the whole society progresses forward. So everyone is important. No one is neglected. So, in through the ages, this Varnashram system started to decay. It was described that Varnashram would decay when the Brahmana started to despise the lower caste, when they started to think of themselves as being more important or greater. Of course, mouth may be more important, but that does not mean the mouth will vilify the legs. You don't find the mouth biting your leg. So this kind of situation developed where higher caste started to despise lower caste. And this way, the whole Vedic or Varnashram system started to develop serious problems. And so, practically speaking, the Varnashram system today is no longer visible in its original form. But actually, we find that in the original system, just as your head, you use your head and your arms to protect the rest of your body. With your eyes, with your mouth, you see what's going on. And this way you protect. You use your intelligence and your arms to protect the rest. So the original system was that the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas would give the shelter and guidance to the others, not to exploit or to consider them as inferior in a kind of an envious manner, but rather to consider them just like, say you have a weaker brother. You don't consider your brother to be despicable. One shouldn't envy the brother, but rather if you have a weaker brother or sister, then you should try to protect them, not to devour them. So in the same way, if the Vaishyas or Sudras have less of a spiritual understanding, or if the Kshatriyas are having less of a spiritual understanding, then the Brahmanas should help them. That is their function. Higher or lower position is only due to the amount of spiritual knowledge that they have. Because the Brahmana has more spiritual knowledge, his position is considered more important. The Kshatriya is also considered to have spiritual knowledge, but not as much as the Brahmana. That's why Kshatriyas were called Rajarshis or Rajarishis, because they had some spiritual knowledge. But they also had to manage practically a country, therefore, or a government, therefore, they respected the Brahmanas who were totally dedicated to spiritual purpose. The Vaishyas, they have some spiritual knowledge, but very less. Less than the Kshatriyas in most cases. And the Sudras, they're considered to have the least amount of spiritual knowledge of the four. So in this way, therefore, a gradation had come. But the duty of those who have more spiritual knowledge is to give those who have less that spiritual knowledge and education. Now Lord Chaitanya came at a time when this way the whole Varnashram system was in a confused state, was becoming more and more confused. So he established that actually, since the gradation is based upon spiritual knowledge, that person has more spiritual knowledge is by definition the superior position. And the ultimate knowledge is to know Krishna. Krishna says, Asteshu manushyanam kaschid yadati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin man veti tatvata. That of all people, out of all the people, so many stages are there, one who knows Krishna is actually the most advanced. He's the most rare. Kaschin man veti tatvata. Kaschin is very hard to find. So here Lord Chaitanya describes Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, Sudra Kene Noi, Jai Krishna Tattva Veta, Se Guru Hoy. whether one is a Brahmana, or whether one is a Sudra, or whether a Sannyasi, why not, even if one is a Sudra, whoever knows the science of Krishna consciousness, that person is actually fit to become a spiritual master. So, to know the science of Krishna, that immediately qualifies one as greater even than a Brahmana. Brahmana means he knows Brahman, or the impersonal absolute. But a Vaishnava, he knows Krishna, which is the highest form of the absolute truth. Therefore, in the Padma Purana, Prabhupada quotes this verse that someone who only knows the impersonal Brahman may be considered a Brahmana, but he's not qualified to be a guru. A guru has to be someone who knows Vishnu or Krishna, who is the actual devotee, because then he will know the full absolute truth, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Therefore, he is qualified to be a guru. The verse given here is Shat Karma Nipuno Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada Avaishnavo Guru Nasyat Vaishnava Swapacho Guru. Shat Karma Nipuno means someone who is very expert in doing various ritualistic religious activities. Vipro. Vipro means Brahmana. Mantra means, of course, chanting all the transcendental mantras and vibrations, the Vedic hymns. Tantra means Sadkarma Nipuno. You could also say one who is very meticulous in practicing his religious principles. Or this may be someone who is following all of the doctrines very carefully. Or he may be a great Brahmana. Or he may know all the mantras. Or Tantra. Tantra means he may know the specific rites. It's like we have Vaishnava Tantra. We recently did a wedding ceremony that is also a Tantra. This Pancharatrik Vidhi, offering of fire sacrifice, or deity worship, these are all type of tantra. So knowing how to do these tantra, that is one of the spiritual qualifications. But if one knows this tantra or knows the mantra but is not personally having faith in the Lord, is not a devotee of the Lord, then it's considered he may be a Brahmana, but he's not qualified to be a guru. He won't be able to liberate his followers. Therefore, the Vaishnava Guru Nasya. So, Lord Chaitanya, he actually brought this understanding of Varnashram to its basic principles. If we understand that Varnashram, social varnas or orders, are based upon having more spiritual knowledge and based upon one's activity and work. So then one can understand that if one has ultimate spiritual knowledge, if one has Krishna conscious knowledge, then that person will be qualified to be guru. That person is qualified, is more than a Brahmana. So in this way, the entire world can spiritually come up to the same level. They'll all be on the transcendental platform. Still, just to organize society and show example for others, people may work according to their nature, whether as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or as a Sudra. But if one is a devotee, he's a Vaishnava, then he is considered not to belong actually to any of these castes, but to be on the transcendental platform. So, here we see that Brahmana is the natural teacher or spiritual master. Prabhupada said, unless one has Vedic knowledge, one cannot become a spiritual master. In other words, unless one actually attains to spiritual knowledge, one can't be considered a brahmana. It said here, the main qualification of a brahmana is to be inclined to the Vedic wisdom. The Vedas are situated on the mouth of the Lord, and therefore anyone who is inclined to the Vedic wisdom is certainly situated on the mouth of the Lord, and he is a brahmana. This inclination towards Vedic wisdom is also not restricted to any particular caste or community. Anyone from any family and from any part of the world may become inclined to the Vedic wisdom, and that will qualify him as a real brahmana. In other words, if a person is inclined to Vedic wisdom, inclined to spiritual knowledge, that is the qualification for a brahmana. When it's time for class, if people aren't inclined to attend, that indicates that they're not being inclined to Brahminical culture. They're not acting fully qualified in Brahminical culture. If one wants to come up to the level at least of a brahmana, that means that they have to try to assimilate Vedic wisdom. That means regularly hearing class, regularly discussing the scripture. Even if someone knows more and a junior in knowledge is giving the class, it is also good for him to hear how that person is giving the class. Possibly he can help in case there's any insufficiency in the explanation. In this way, even sometimes a very simple point can give one a great realization. And in any case, the Vedas are always giving us newer and newer insights into the purpose of life, into Krishna consciousness. So Vedic wisdom is there for everyone. But the brahmanas are actually those who are inclined to take it. The Vaishnavas, being higher than even the brahmanas, they're also always inclined to take the Vedic wisdom. One time in Mayapur, Prabhupada was giving class, and he said he saw some devotee was falling asleep. So he said, since you're not able to stay awake during the class, this means you're not inclined to Brahminical quality. So better you go out in the field and plow. Then at least you'll be doing Krishna's service, seva, or devotional service. So then that devotee went out in the field and took the plow, and we started to plow on order of the Guru. Even though he was from foreign country, never did it. But he had the orders, so he was plowing. He was very sincere. So after plowing for some time, his taste for hearing Vedic wisdom grew. And gradually he learned not to fall asleep during class. So, there are many verses like this where it says that if somebody is inclined to hearing the wisdom about the Lord, hearing about transcendental knowledge, that this is the actual first step in spiritual life. Most of the people, as I can repeat that verse again, sahasteshu manushanam, but most of the people, out of thousands and thousands of people, it's hard to find one person who's even interested in spiritual knowledge. Generally, if you want to talk politics, you want to talk about some movie stars, you want to talk about some kind of sports, everyone is interested. But if you want to discuss spiritual knowledge, people are not very inclined. For instance, my previous ashram mother, she came to live in our temple under the shelter of the devotees for some time. And after spending some time with the devotees, she went back to her other family members, my brothers and sisters from my material life, my previous ashram. And after being with the devotees, she had developed a very strong inclination to hearing and talking about Krishna consciousness. So she wanted to discuss about spiritual matters. But she found that all of the relatives, even her own other children, they're always criticized. Why do you always want to discuss about these things? Why do you want to discuss about God? Why do you want to discuss about spiritual matters? There are so many other things in the world to discuss about. Why do you want to discuss about this? And then she would say that, why don't you want to discuss about this? This is the most important thing. But they say, no, today this sports is going to happen, this thing is happening, so and so is God's thing. They always want to discuss the material thing. So then she came to a realization that she became very bored, actually, and asked if she could not again take association with the devotees, because discussing all these useless material things was very dry. But so generally, people, they're not interested in spiritual matters. They don't want to even inquire. They just go on blindly acting. So that's what Krishna says, Sahasreshu Manushanam. Out of thousands of people, one inquires, what is the truth? They're interested. Sahasreshu Manushanam Kashit Yadavisiphaye. And amongst those, it's very rare to find someone who actually knows the Absolute Truth. Who, inquiring, many people inquire, what are you doing? What is this about? They hear, they don't understand. They cannot figure it out. They go away, confused. They're not able to, even they hear it, they try to understand, but then they forget or they lose it. They become bewildered, they don't understand properly. So someone who actually hears and understands, that person is even more rare. He's considered a gyani. So, then out of those gyanis, out of thousands of those who know, one who is actually mukta, who is actually liberated, who really is realized. In other words, someone may know, yes, I am not the body, yes, I should serve the Guru. Yes, purpose of life is to be God conscious or Krishna conscious. Yes, I should chant the holy names. But practically speaking, that person may not do it all of the time or effectively. Even though a person may say, yes, I'm not the body. But when it comes to acting on the spiritual platform, if some superior representative of the Guru tells the person, do this service, even though he thinks, he knows I'm not the body, still the false ego says, no, why is he telling me this? Why should I do? I'm this, I'm that. So much false ego is there that they're not able to swallow even a simple instruction. But what have they understood? That they're not the body. Or some sense gratification comes along, one knows he's not the body. But when the sense gratification comes, instead of acting on the spiritual platform, they fall down to the material level. So these people are not liberated. They may have knowledge, but they're still considered to be conditioned souls. When a person actually is able to act on the liberated platform, when they're able to act as a spirit soul, then that is considered to be that they're liberated. But amongst those liberated persons, there are many who have understood that they're not the body, and they act properly, accordingly. But amongst those, it's very rare to find one who is a pure devotee of Krishna. They are the most rare. So, if someone is a devotee, if they're a Vaishnava, they're qualified to be a guru, they are already considered to be on the highest level of liberation. So, the purpose of the Krishna conscious movement is to bring people up to that transcendental platform so that they're free from the suffering of this material world. They're free from the illusion. Nasochiti nakamshiti sanga sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktin labhate puram. And so that they can achieve the transcendental abode of the Lord. They can achieve the shelter of the Lord and engage in His devotional service eternally. So, this function to give spiritual knowledge, especially the function of the brahmanas, this Krishna conscious movement, Prabhupada said, is to create brahmanas in society. Not only brahmanas, but Vaishnava brahmanas. That means that there needs to be people who will teach the other sections of society And for this, they have to become well-versed in spiritual knowledge. That means that they have to practice Krishna conscious principles, and they have to regularly hear the Srimad Bhagavat. Even the Srimad Bhagavat itself contains a slok that says, Bhagavata Nitya Sevaya. One should daily hear and serve the Bhagavats. Bhagavats are two kinds. There's book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat. Both should be served. We serve the book Bhagavat by hearing. We serve the person Bhagavat by hearing, and when physically present, by also doing Vapu Seva and otherwise doing Vani Seva. That means to follow his instructions. Person Bhagavat means the person who's living according to the principles of the book Bhagavat, who's living according to pure Krishna conscious devotional principles. So, these are very important points which this verse has instructed us. Society requires natural teachers, requires spiritual masters, and this is the means to achieve it. If nobody in society is interested in spiritual matters, then what is the value? Who is going to lead the society? If a teacher doesn't have spiritual knowledge, then he won't be able to guide society properly. That is the problem, that today the intellectuals, the government heads, even the business community, generally speaking, they're not having this spiritual understanding. Therefore, all of the solutions are made according to their materialistic speculation. And this creates more problems even than the original problem they're trying to solve. So, the solution is that there has to be brahmanas or natural teachers and spiritual masters in society, and this only comes as they become inclined to hear spiritual wisdom. So Lord Chaitanya is so kind that by giving this Krishna prasadam, by chanting Hare Krishna, naturally one develops an inclination to hear about spiritual life. And as one hears about spiritual life and becomes purified, then one's taste for chanting also increases. So in this way, there's a very wonderful cycle which goes on, and one is able, by the repeated hearing and chanting, to advance higher and higher on the rungs of spiritual life until one is able to achieve pure Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Any questions?
Yes. Like you were mentioning, actually this slok itself is very deep, and because there are also the mouth of Lord Krishna speaking everything very expertly. Like you said that the brahmanas, no one, the mouth never bites the leg. But because the brahmanas, they got degraded and there is all chaos in the society. But then again, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed an example that is it the time now that the brahmanas, like we are the Vaishnavas, we should speak sweet words and preach by any way to bring the Shudras, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, even the so-called brahmanas, by some way or other, back to Krishna by engaging them. So can you give more light that sweet words of engaging or not harassing them and bringing back to Krishna?
You're not recommending harassment.
Yeah. Because of harassment they are
right. So we're saying, a parent takes care of the children, protects them, instructs them, because he loves them. So, the proper attitude for someone with more spiritual knowledge is to love the others, members of human race, because everyone is, or all living creatures, because they're all part of Krishna. and wanting to help them in the service of, so they can engage in the service of Lord Krishna. Should be a loving attitude. If you're feeling one with Krishna, naturally you'll feel also connected with all living entities. You'll feel kindness towards them, because they're all, Krishna is in them and they are in Krishna. Krishna Sadhak, Balavir, any question? Krishna Sadhika?
She did not understand.
You explain, give a brief explanation. Or maybe, Samuini, you can give a synopsis of this class.
Do we have to exhibit the qualities of the brahmanas constantly, or sometimes Vaishnavas have to act like kshatriyas or shudras or vaishyas, because the society is in chaos and they don't have the ashramas? My meaning is that, is it that we have to have one quality as a brahmana constantly, or sometimes as kshatriyas?
Vaishnava can act, Vaishnava always acts as a Vaishnava. Superficially, for devotional service, he can do all of the services of all the varnas, or service of any one varna. It's like the Vaishnava cleans the temple. We say that's the work of Sudra. But for Krishna, we clean the temple, that cleans our heart. Devotee may also milk the cow, take care of cows, or you may go do the marketing or something. There's the Vaishya work. Devotee may sometimes defend the temple, or may organize, manage the kshatriya. Devotee is also giving lecture and discussing, teaching others. It's brahminical. The devotee does all of the things, but everything he's doing is a devotional service. Therefore, it's transcendental. Someone who is not transcendental, they do one thing. They do one way and perfect that. The one who is transcendental, he can do other works if needed. But whimsically, one need not do. But according to the instructions. He understands? You heard her explanation?
Yeah.
Krishna Sadhak. Now you have any question?
And also, can you say, like Srila Prabhupada always recommends that he wants, again, divine grace in this knowledge, that everyone should become a Brahmana, Vaishnava. And there is a difference also. If a Vaishnava does a Shudra work, but he does with intelligence. Even he does a Vaishya work, he does with intelligence. Even he does a Kshatriya work, he does with intelligence. So by this, the society can expand more, because a Vaishnava
does it with devotion.
Devotion, intelligence. Because the ordinary Shudra will be acting on the Shudra platform, no intelligence.
They have intelligence, how can you say Shudra is not intelligent? Manager of a big factory, if he's employed, he's considered Shudra. He's very intelligent. Doesn't mean that Shudra is not intelligent. They're very, they're intelligent in their particular line. The point is that if one is doing it with spiritual understanding, with spiritual wisdom, then that person is considered a Vaishnava, then he's transcendental. Materially speaking, if one is just doing what one's told, there's less of it. One is more conditioned, has less freedom to do the things that he wants to do. So with less spiritual knowledge, it's better that the people are given a fixed program. If you don't have spiritual wisdom, then it's better that you work as an employee. Just like we see now, businessmen, they have so much money, but they have no spiritual wisdom. So instead of using the money for good purpose, they're using the money for making sinful activities, for drinking, for womanizing, for other things, taking drugs. Just today in the paper it said one lord, son, marquis of something, he broke into a drugstore to try to get some heroin because he's a drug addict. The judge said, even though you're born in a high family, but because of taking drugs, you've come to the lowest level. So this is the thing. Without spiritual knowledge, then the more independence a person has is dangerous. Therefore, according to Vedic social structure, more independence was given according to having more spiritual knowledge. More responsibility also. If a Brahmana does something wrong, then he would get more times the punishment than if another person, but he was considered to have more knowledge, so he shouldn't do that. But because he was more responsible, he was given more freedom. Because naturally he won't do those things according to his responsibility. That was the way that society was organized. Shudra has less spiritual knowledge, therefore he wasn't given money, but he was provided with his food, he was provided with his clothing, with his housing, with all of the needs. He didn't have to worry. He had everything taken care of. Vaishya, he has a little more spiritual knowledge, so that he was given more freedom. He could buy, sell, do business, do agriculture, but his duty was to donate to the Brahmanas, to pay taxes to the king, and himself to do yajnas. He was considered to be twice born, according to the Varnashram system. Like this, and each, as you go higher up, in spiritual knowledge, some more independence was given. King is even more independent. But he's also dependent on Brahmanas. He has to follow their spiritual guidance. And the Brahmanas, they have to follow the Vedas. They're supposed to be conversant with the Vedas. So because they're most conversant with the Vedas, therefore they'll follow according to Guru Parampara and Vedas. Therefore, Brahmanas are practically free from the law of the land. They could go anywhere without passport, without visa. No restriction. They were not taxed. Neither they would work for anyone else. But they could take donations because they were simply giving spiritual knowledge. This is a basic ancient Vedic system. So today, of course, things are totally different. But the basics, essence is still stands, that if a person has spiritual knowledge, that brings with it responsibility. That also brings with it, if you act according to that Vedic wisdom, that will bring you independence from the laws of karma. If you act according to the Krishna conscious principles, then you'll not be bound by the law of karma. So even if one is acting as a Vaishya, acting as a Kshatriya, whatever, if he's acting in Krishna consciousness, he will not be bound by the work. That is the difference. Normally everyone is bound by the work they do. But if a person acts in Krishna consciousness, he is not bound by that work.